Today, the radio broadcast portion of the UCC Church Worship Service is in honor and loving memory of Anita Miller, who would have celebrated her 100th birthday on January 31st, given by her children, Gary, Glenn, Lynette, Wendell, Steve, Janice, Dan, and Jeff.
Choir. I'm going to read from Micah. And there are a couple of different voices in this. One is the voice of God. There's the voice of the prophet. And there's the voice of the people. And so I'm going to go with this a little bit. And God is angry. God is very angry at this point. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. It's courtroom. We're in the court. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. And then God says, oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent to you Moses before you, Aaron and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. And then the people say, well, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul. The prophet, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. The word of the Lord from the Old Testament.
The gospel lesson is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Pray that the words that I speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That which you hear is that which the Spirit intends for your ears this day. Let us pray. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I found it interesting when I was reading this week to realize that Jesus on this Sermon on the Mount was trying to get away from the crowds, and so he went up on the mountain, and then his disciples came to him. And so his teaching is, as I said to the children, a small group. And his first lesson to them is how to recognize the blessed. Now, as David Lowe says in an email I read this week, and he's a president of an ELCA seminary out east, David Lowe writes, "We don't often talk about who is blessed. We're more likely to talk about who has made it or who is successful than blessed. We use different language today, am I right?" So I'm wondering if you might name some names of someone you would name as having made it in life, somebody who is successful. And it could be somebody in your family. It can be somebody in the Neillsville, somebody here in Wisconsin. Who would you say is successful? No one? Really? Friend Donald Trump. Okay.
Gross Brothers.
Gross Brothers. Yep. I'm going to add Urban. Okay. Somebody else. God's successful. I hope so. Anybody else? Yeah. Your teacher. Yes, especially if she's teaching you how to read or play piano. Ah, okay. And we can probably brag about a grandchild who has a 4-point average in school, or the one who got the high-paying job fresh out of college. We could probably talk about the kid or the quarterback who threw the Hail Mary.
Or didn't.
No, we're talking about success, Darani. We're talking about success. We could talk about the one who hit one out of the ballpark. We talk about the business person, as you named, who stood the test of time or grown their business strong enough to have some employees. We could talk about the drug addict or the alcoholic who has freed themselves from their addiction. We could talk about the retirees who saved enough money to travel or fund a good cause. Or the one who beat cancer and or survived a bad relationship. You know, we most often see the blessed as those who've done the best or are the most or who are honored the most. Do you get it? Jesus, though, recognizes as blessed those we really don't want to be. Those who are feeling down and out, maybe even depressed. Those who are grieving some loss or their lot in life. Those who are meek or humble. Maybe even letting others who are making their way to the top step on them as they make their way to the top. Jesus blesses or says those who are blessed are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And those who are merciful and maybe giving so much to others that they end up themselves needing food stamps. Now you get the picture? The blessed are having a hard time. They're hurting. They see the needs of the world, and they work for peace. Now, I'm trusting this week, sometime your heart was broken for people who are hurting because of decisions that have been made. I'm trusting you are a follower of Jesus, and you are praying or taking action for some group of people or individual who is scared for themselves or others. While many of my colleagues are calling their congregations to work for justice for the poor, the outcast, and the resident alien, today I'm going to go in a different direction. You're going, hallelujah. I ask, you know, you're going to say hallelujah now, but you're going to say, oh, go back to the other. I know you will. I ask us to recognize the one in our family or circle of acquaintances who is brokenhearted, a failure as we might describe them, the black sheep we may not want to claim as a relative or friend. Want me to go back to the other? Today, I want us to name for ourselves who that might be among our sisters and brothers, our aunts and uncles, our cousins, neighbors, co-workers, classmates. Who is the one we whisper and laugh about or are ashamed of in our families? I have a cousin, Corey. He's a bit strange. And I have an eccentric aunt. No one wants to be like. And when my father says, "You're just like Aunt Joan," I knew it was not a compliment. And when I went to Holland and I told my cousins, my dad had said that, they said, "Oh, Jacob, don't worry. All of our parents told us that." Okay? Aunt Joan. I have a cousin, Jenny, who was loud-mouthed, and a cousin, Kobe, who did drugs. You see, I have a big family. Maybe you are the person in your family. Maybe you're the one who can't get over a grief or are depressed. Maybe you're the one with a bleeding heart for the suffering. Maybe you're the one who is the peacemaker or the loud mouth, the one who can't hold a job or are addicted. Today I want us to name them and to realize that Jesus recognizes them. Not to have pity on them. Not to demand that they change. Jesus tells us and them that we are beloved, that he loves us. We are blessed, that God loves that one as they are. God cares about that person, and Today on that mountain, talking with his closest followers, Jesus names them, maybe even names us. We, the outcast, the troubled, the grieving, are blessed. You feel it? I sure felt it as I was writing it. Can you imagine blessing Jesus for you? God recognizes you, sees you, loves you. I hear your stories, and I know my own stories, members of our families who are not as we wish. Our task is to open our eyes to the one Jesus notices, loves, forgives, and has mercy on in our family. Because, my friends, until we see that person up front and personal, we're going to be blind to those who out in the world Jesus recognizes as blessed and loved. You know, the refugee and the foreigner, the one who had an abortion or who isn't behaving in such a way that she or his partner or her partner will want an abortion in the future. The one who always has a handout asking for more. We are invited to see them because Jesus sees them. Of course, recognition and awareness is only the first step. But it is an important first step. Like I said, start with your families, like I have to do. The prophet Micah calls us to the next step, the step which calls us to do justice and offer loving kindness and to walk humbly with our God. So now I invite us to go back to think about that person you named in your family. Consider the justice that person needs. What kindness does that person deserve? And I know we will need to walk humbly with our God because it will take some swallowing of our pride and some hard work on our part, some forgiveness on our part, some mercy, some understanding on our part to do what God calls us to do. It will take some courage to stand up to other family members and friends on the behalf of the one that everyone has said, "Do you believe? Can you believe it?" It's going to take some courage to say, "There's a different story." The story is that Jesus loves that child too. Jesus recognizes that one too, and Jesus blesses that one too. It will take courage to live in a way that loves and blesses this neighbor of ours, as Jesus calls us. Yet, my friends, as we do these things, we too will be blessed. Amen. Our hymn is new to us, and I've invited the choir to sing the verses, and when you want, you can join in, but let them start, and then join in on the refrain.
Please be seated. Let us turn to the insert or on page 3, the words on page 3, the prayer. Let us pray together. In love, God calls us to health and wholeness in our own lives.
Who stir us emotionally to make healthy response to the ebb and flow of living. For all who provide guidance and support for our sexual and mental health.
We give thanks in love. God calls us to mission among those in need.
For all who offer food or shelter or listening heart. For all who gently hold a troubled hand or sit silently in simple accompaniment. For all who offer therapy or surgery, who bring intervention or enable rehabilitation with a full measure of hope,
we give you thanks. In love, God calls us to care for the least among the children of God.
For all who honor and care for those who are aging, who rock babies and children in need of comfort in an unkind and terrifying world, for all who offer care in community clinics and at health fairs, who diligently work to end epidemics, who value the disabled among us, for all who see each person's worth and actively oppose discrimination.
We give you thanks. In love, God calls us to open our hearts to the meaning of discipleship.
Grant that we may have the wisdom and will, O God, to embrace the healing and service ministry of Jesus Christ and make it truly our own. Inspire us, Holy One, to trust that your healing love will use our humble efforts to bring health and wholeness to us and to the whole human family.
Gracious God, we lift up to you this day those who grieve, remembering families of our own congregation. We ask your blessing upon them and that you might open our eyes to their needs. Gracious God, pray for peace for the world, for children everywhere, who are hungry and thirsty for love and acceptance. We pray, O God, for our world, for the leaders of nations. God, let them work together so that we might find your peace. O God, help us to be faithful followers of Jesus in the best ways we can. Help us to remember his commandments, to love you, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Oh God, we ask these things in Christ's name, and it is in his name that we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.